Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It's good to see you. I wasn't with you on Tuesday. Mr. Power was here. I'm sure you enjoyed him. And he'll be here once a month. So you'll have a holiday from me once a month on a Tuesday. But here we are with you today. And we're turning to Hebrews, the chapter 11. You know that by now, don't you? Hebrews, the chapter 11. And the verse that we're looking at, and perhaps we'll get finished with this verse today. But you know, God's word is so filled with wonderful things that we can go on finding new things in a verse every time we come to it. It's not like that box that you get your present in. You know what it's like? It's all excitement, unwrapping it and tearing off the cover, getting the flaps open and taking out the present, and soon the box is empty and there's nothing more. But that's not the way it is with the Bible. The Bible is inexhaustible. It's a bit like the widow of Sarepta's barrel. You remember? Every morning she went there was some more meal. She thought she had emptied it the day before, but oh, God had put in some more meal for her. And that went on and on and on as long as the famine lasted. Well, this is a barrel that we can never empty. And every verse in the Bible is like a barrel that never can be emptied, boys and girls. So when you come to read a passage that perhaps you read not so long ago, or was dealt with in Sunday school or in church, and you think to yourself, oh, I read that no time ago, I'll not bother. No. Because if you read it again, you'll find something new in it. Something new. So, it's the verse 24, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now we have spoken of how it was Moses arrived in the home of Pharaoh's daughter, and how he was raised, really as a prince of Egypt, surrounded on every hand by riches, servants at his beck and call. Wonderful life for someone who had been pulled out of the reeds by the riverside and rescued. One who was born under a death sentence, because Pharaoh had said all the male children of Israel are to die. Wonderful story, the story of Moses. So here he is. But this verse 24 tells us something dramatic happened. Even more dramatic than the other dramatic things that had already happened in the life of Moses. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Can you imagine what it was like in the palace when Moses came to that decision? He would have thought about it for quite a few days, I would imagine, and he would have said to himself, how am I going to break this news? How am I going to tell the one who has been as a mother to me, Pharaoh's daughter? And how am I going to tell Pharaoh that I am no longer going to be considered part of your household? That was a big step, a major step. Let's notice that when the time came in the life of Moses for him to break the link that existed between him and Pharaoh's household, let's notice just exactly what it tells us about the time. Look at what it says. Verse 24. By faith Moses, when he was come to years. When he was come to years. That's a strange statement. When he was come to years. Well, let me tell you, boys and girls, we would often talk about boys and girls and say of them that there comes a time in their life when they reach the years of understanding. Some of you have arrived at those years, and some of you are just getting close to it. What does it mean? The years of understanding. It means that time in your life when you have developed, not just physically, you're growing up and your feet are getting bigger, But when your mind and your heart has come to a point where you begin to understand the gospel, you begin to understand what you are in God's sight. You begin to understand what you really are like inside. You're a sinner. And you begin to understand why it was Jesus Christ came. Oh, you've heard about him, and you've heard the story in Sunday school for years. You've sung about it in hymns, but you never quite understood what it was all about. But then when you come to years of understanding, suddenly you realize the Lord Jesus came to die on the cross, taking the place of sinners like me. I need to be redeemed. And he on the cross paid the price of my sin. When you come to the ears of understanding, suddenly, it's like the sun rising in the morning. If you happen to get up in the middle of the night and open the curtains and peep out, you can't see anything. Dark. But in the morning, when it's time to get up and you peep out, the sun has risen and you can see. There's light. Well, that's what happens when you come to the ears of understanding. Suddenly you see what the gospel means. Now, it was at a moment like that for Moses when he came to years. He reached a point where he understood things as he had never understood them before. Now, when Moses came to years, it may surprise you what age he was. There are those in life who come to the Lord and step out on his side very early in life. It would have been so with David. He would only have been a young lad when he stepped out on the Saviour's side and was able to say, "The Lord is my shepherd." Samuel before him, he was only a young lad when the Lord called him. Do you remember? In the night time, God spoke to him, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel was only a lad. And that night the Lord saved Samuel. Up till then he didn't know the Lord, but that night the Lord and he met. And from that time on, Samuel belonged to the Lord. He understood. He knew. His eyes were open. He had reached the years of understanding. But he was only a lad. Have you had Samuel's experience? Have you? We could speak of Daniel. Daniel was only a young fellow. When he was taken away to Babylon, he was already a well-established believer in the Lord. So he was saved when he was young. Timothy was only a young fellow when he was saved. And the Bible's full of young fellows and young girls. You remember the wee lassie who was taken away a captive into the land of Syria? We don't have her name. We'll learn it one day. If you go to heaven, you'll meet her. And she'll tell you there in greater detail her experiences. Remember, she was a captive in the home of Naaman. But she was only a wee lassie. But oh, she was bold for the Lord and told them that there was in Israel one who could heal Naaman of his leprosy. Man of God, prophet Elijah. So, boys and girls from a very early age have been saved. But that's not the experience of all. Do you know what age Moses was when it says here he came to the years of understanding? Well, if you were to look up Acts chapter 7, where Stephen is on trial before the leaders of Israel because of his stand for the Lord Jesus, and the verses 22 and 23, and he goes over the history of Israel and tells them and points out certain things that were of great importance. And he mentions Moses, and it says of Moses that when he was 40 years of age, it came into his heart to visit his brethren. So he was 40 when this verse here that we're looking at, verse 24, refers to him. This phrase, he came to years, he came to understanding, and he was 40. Now, I'm sure there was a period of time in which he realized certain truths, because he had been brought up, you remember, under his mother, and his mother, who had been hired by Pharaoh's daughter to look after him when he was only a wee baby. And in the wonderful providence of God, I know that good woman would have taught her wee son about the Lord and about the gospel and about how he needed to be saved and about God's promises to Israel. She would have taught all that to Moses. But it was a long time after when that truth really broke in on Moses. How long have you heard the gospel? Come on. How long is it since you first heard in your own home? For that's usually where we hear the gospel first of all. How long is it since you heard the story of the Lord Jesus? And since you heard it in your home, you've heard it in church, you've heard it in Sabbath school, you've heard it in children's meetings, you've heard it here in the school. But has it broken in upon you? Have you come to the ears of understanding? Moses was 40 when it appears it dawned on him. I'm not an Egyptian. I don't belong in this palace. I belong with those people out there, the Hebrews, who were despised and rejected and hated and persecuted by Pharaoh. I don't belong among the Egyptians. It dawned on him. It dawned on him that he belonged to Jesus, if I might put it like that. Exodus chapter 2 and the verse 11 puts it like this. It came to pass in those days when Moses was grown that he went out unto his brethren and looked on their burdens. Now he had seen the Jews out there working in the fields before, many times, but it never occurred to him, those are my brethren. Look at the burdens they're bearing. Look at the sufferings they're having to endure. But as the light of God began to dawn upon him, he saw himself as God saw him. He realized that I don't really belong among the Egyptians. Those are my people out there. Those are my brethren. It says he looked on their burdens. He began to feel for them. He began to say it's not right what they're suffering. His sympathies moved away from Pharaoh and Pharaoh's house. He had been enjoying Pharaoh's house and all the pleasures of it, but his sympathies moved and now centered upon those who were suffering because they were Jews, because they belonged to God. They were God's people. That's why they were suffering. And he saw their burdens and he became concerned about them and for them. And he realized, that's where I belong. Those are my brethren. And boys and girls, that's what it is to get saved. That's what it is to get saved. It is to suddenly realize that I don't belong to the world. I've been in the world and following its ways and enjoying what little pleasure it gives for a short time. I don't belong to the world. I see that the Lord Jesus died at the cross to purchase me, to save me. I belong to him. And those people that I always sort of laughed at, those Christians who talked about being saved and born again and their sins forgiven, I used to laugh at them. But now I realize they're my people. I can tell you the moment when I had a similar experience to that of old Moses. It was just a night or so after I found assurance that I was saved. And about five fellows came to my house that I run around with. And they knocked on the door and I went out to them and I was a wee bit nervous and not too sure of myself. But they were heading down the town to pubs and all the rest of it. And, "Are you coming?" they said. Because that's what I would have normally done. And I remember standing and said, "No, I'm not going with you. I have got saved and I'm not going out to those places anymore." That shocked them and they didn't know what to say. And they shuffled their feet and looked at one another and gradually backed away and turned round. And before long they were running and laughing at me. Not all of them are alive anymore. I never really saw any of them again. I wonder, are they laughing now? Oh yes. Moses said, those are my people. I'm in the wrong place. I don't belong here in Pharaoh's house. I want you to notice quickly that verse 24 tells us that it was by faith Moses, when he was come to years. This is what moved him to do what he did. Faith. What is faith? Well, the wee chorus says, faith is just believing what God said he would do. And that's pretty good. That's a pretty accurate definition of faith. And Moses came to the point where he remembered what his mother had taught him. See, his mother had planted wee seeds in his heart, planted the promises of God, told him God has said he's going to do this for us. And although it was 40 years had passed before those seeds began to germinate and grow, they grew, and faith was at work. He was believing the promises of God as he had been taught by his mother. And he realized, here's what God is going to do. And I belong to the Lord. I'm one of his. And those people out there, those Hebrews, they're my people. I don't belong here in the palace. Faith was at work. Boys and girls, do you believe the Bible? Do you believe the Word of God? Because what God says in this book, he's going to do. He's going to do. It's going to happen. No matter what men say or men think or men speculate, what God promised to do here in this book, he's going to do. And we should act accordingly. If the weather forecast says it's going to bucket down with rain today, we bring a coat. We dress accordingly because we believe what the weatherman says. Even though sometimes he gets it wrong, we generally believe the weatherman and we act accordingly. Well, God has said he's going to do certain things and we should act accordingly. Take heed of it and obey it. And that's what Moses did. By faith, by believing what God had said, Moses acted and his whole life changed when he was 40 years of age. And one of the first things he had to do, verse 24, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. That's the first thing he did. Broke the link with the household of Pharaoh. That's what I did that night I was just telling you about when I said to the fellas, no, I'm not going anymore, boys. I broke the link. And I'm thankful that the Lord showed me that's what I should do. If you're a Christian, you're not linked to the world. You're not linked to the ways of the world. If you're a Christian, the first thing you do is step back from it. Break the link with it. Have nothing to do with it. The Bible's filled with exhortations like that. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. The ways of men are ways of darkness, and they will never bear any fruit that's good. Then we're to break the link. We're to have no fellowship. And that's what Moses did. He refused to be called. That was a tremendous step, a powerful step. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. You can imagine the gossip in the corridors of the palace as the servants reported to one another, do you know what Moses has done? He's gone and joined all those slaves out there and he has thrown over his claim to be the son of Pharaoh's daughter. That would have been a big day amongst not just the servants but everybody in Egypt when they heard the news. A big decision by Moses. There's a big day when you come out on the side of the Lord Jesus. If you have done that and you've gone to mum or dad and told them, you can remember they were quite excited about it all. Sunday school teacher and minister, they were excited about it all because it's a big day when you do that. It's a big day. I might just say in closing, and you can maybe take this away and think about it, the breaking of the link by Moses is linked to Pharaoh's household, Pharaoh's daughter. The breaking of that link was attended or accompanied with trouble because as soon as he did that, he found himself in bother. You recall how when he went out, as it says in Exodus, he went out to his brethren, he looked on their burdens. He first of all saw an Egyptian taskmaster beating an Israelite, and he went and defended the Israelite, and in defending the Israelite, the Egyptian taskmaster was killed. He was right out on the side of the Hebrew now, all right. He had shown that he considered the Egyptians and what they were doing as the actions of enemies of God's people. And then a few days later he was out again looking on his brethren and their troubles and feeling it in his heart and saying, Lord, I see the distress they're in. What am I to do? How am I to help them? And he saw two Hebrews fighting. And Moses intervened and said, brethren, what are you fighting for? And one of them said, are you going to do to me what you did to that Egyptian? And suddenly Moses realized, I thought that had been kept quiet. I had hidden away the body of the Egyptian, but it's known. And when that gets back to Pharaoh, I'll be in trouble. And Moses fled away, far away from Egypt, to hide from the wrath of Pharaoh. The days of peace and pleasure in the household of Pharaoh were over. Now, boys and girls, there's one thing God makes clear to us when he tells us that we should be saved. I've often used the illustration of recruiting posters for the Army or the Air Force or the Navy, how that those posters present a wonderful way of life. But never once on those posters does it say, by the way, you could get killed as a soldier, a sailor, or an airman. It doesn't say that. Just says, there's plenty of money to be made. You'll go to exciting places. You'll meet wonderful people. Come and join us. But it doesn't say anything about the danger. Now, God doesn't speak like that. God tells us plainly that if we come out on the Savior's side, we're going to find ourselves surrounded by enemies who will do their very best to destroy us. God warns us about that. He tells us that when you become a Christian, you begin to fight the good fight of faith. When you become a Christian, God gives you a suit of armor. And he says, put that on. From the helmet right down to the shoes, put it on. Make sure you carry the sword and the shield. Because you're going to be facing enemies. God doesn't hide the fact that when we come out on the side of the Lord Jesus, we're into war. We're into war. The devil is our enemy. He had been, as it were, less of an enemy, it would appear, although he was always working to your destruction. But he didn't appear to be an enemy until we got saved, and then he really became an enemy to us and opposed us and tried to do everything to destroy us. We're in a fight. But it's a good fight. It's a good fight. So we can learn that. When he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, he was in a battle right away. The whole house of Pharaoh that before had bowed before him and said, what do you want us to do? And we'll do it for you. Your command is our pleasure to perform. They were all over him. Until he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Then they were all nearly carrying a big club that they would have thumped poor Moses with had they got a chance. Something like that anyway. And boys and girls, if you come out on the side of the Lord, you're in a battle. There's a war within you, an old nature that still loves sin and it's warring to bring you down. And there's a battle outside of you as well, surrounding you. The devil and his forces, his agents, are there to oppose you. You remember the parable of the sower? And some of the seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and strangled the seed. Well, that's what the world wants to do with you and me. When we come out on the Lord's side, and we begin to grow for him, the world wants to choke us off. But the Lord will give us the victory if we look to him. We know that Moses did get the victory. He ran away for a time, but what a victory he later enjoyed. The Lord helped him. The Lord didn't forsake him. Think about it. Have you come to the years of understanding yet? Do you grasp the gospel yet? Have you come out on the Savior's side yet? Have you turned your back on sin and the world and the old ways? If you haven't, may you do it today. May you do it today. Let's quickly bow in prayer. Lord, bless your word to the boys and girls. We do pray that they would grasp and understand what it is thou hast said to us all here, and that we might imitate by your grace what Moses did, and refuse to be called a child of the devil, a child of the world, a follower of sin. But Lord, may we be known as one who loves the Lord Jesus and who seeks to obey him. Bless the school today and all who are here in it, teachers and pupils, parents at home. Lord, look down in mercy upon us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.